Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
So you're a young millionaire, right? Obviously, as an artist.
Man, you could be at the top. You could fall all the way down and have everybody say that you will never be nothing again. And then now be in a position to where you able to just show like the hard work, the dedication, and just what keeping God first will really bring you.
Very rare we get to meet somebody who's rebranded himself like this gentleman today, man.
Yeah, him making one of the ones, man. I'm really, really excited to chop it up with him because he's in real estate. He's the biggest mogul right now. Like, he's doing all kinds of stuff outside of just making beats. I don't think people even appreciate.
Yeah, it's like we remember that generation. He becomes nostalgic because he's taking hits from the 90s, 2000s, and he's flipping them crazy.
And always interested in learning about more in business and investing, so... Oh, he's super smart dude.
Yeah, man. Well, you got 10 billion streams, 100 million sold? Them numbers is different. That's Hall of Fame numbers.
Hitmaker, my brother, thank you for joining us, bro.
Yo, thanks for having me, man, for real.
Yeah, this is a conversation I'm actually very excited to have because we talk to a lot of artists. But I say that to say, a lot of times people think of music and they only think of like one aspect of music, somebody performing, rapping or singing. They don't think about the business, they don't think about the producer, they don't think about the A&R, they don't think about a lot of different stuff. Right. So you, one of the biggest in the game, 100 million sales?
Yeah, man, that's more than that now. That's when I got the plaque. I don't even really be doing accounting and stuff like that. Like, for real, like, not even on no big dog shit or whatever, but just like, I never really bought plaques, you know? And then I went to the Tricky Stewart studio in Atlanta and like I was just seeing like 50 million, 60 million, 70. I'm like, holy shit. Like, so I'm like, yo, I'm not buying no plaque until I'm on this level of where he was. And the first plaque I got was 70 million. And then I got the 100 million one probably like 3-4 months ago, but I probably had like 100 and close to 110 right now.
So you have to buy the plaque?
Yeah, you gotta buy the plaque.
Oh, okay.
What? Nah, you thought it just came in.
Yeah. Like, I thought the label was like, hey, yeah, that's what you did.
Nah, it don't work like that. You got to buy the plaques and buy all your accomplishments or whatever that you want. But I mean, instead of just flooding the crib, I'd rather just have like one big junk. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to be caught up in my own vibe. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love to just keep putting the work on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so it don't really, it might not look like money, but I know it's going to catch up and it's going to be some money. You know what I'm saying? Just go in blind faith. You did?
How was the reaction to your counterparts when they realized that it was 100 million? You know what I mean? Because I obviously we watched you as an artist in your younger years, and people quite didn't know who was making all these hits.
Right.
And so to see 100 million, it's like, wait, huh?
You know, I don't know. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, I just always feel like the underdog. Like, and a lot of people even tell me, like, man, like, bro, you accomplished a lot. Like, the way you rebranded, the way you reinvented yourself, like, this is one of, like, a hip-hop great type thing that we've seen. And to me, it's still like, man, I ain't did shit. Like, I haven't done nothing. Like, I just use it as motivation because, like, I think that when people get too complacent and they get caught up in their own vibe, then it's kind of like, well, maybe I could fall back, or maybe I could do that, or maybe I do go sell my masters right now, my catalog, and just disappear. But man, like, I love the game. Like, I love it so much. Like, that's why I wear so many hats, from producer to executive producer to artist or whatever. It's just, I love the game, man. It's my life. I don't got nothing but it.
So talk about your production company that you're building.
Yeah, Make a Sound, man. Shout out to my partner, Krishan. Me and Krishan met in 2016, and we were able to meet through another party and like great A&R. And shout out to my dog, Jay Grant, who works at RCA. He is Mulatto's A&R right now. Excuse me, Lotto, Big Lotto. Shout out to my girl. And a slew of other artists that he was influential on. And we met just cooking up records and just cooking up records. And then from there, we were like, yo, like, I became the vice president of A&R, the Atlantic Records. This is probably like in 2016 or something like that. And they just like took me under the wing. And the crazy thing about it was, I was like, bro, like with my deal, like shout out to all the people behind the scenes that really work with me. Shout out to my mentor, Ryan Press, and just different people. And I was just like, bro, like I'm not trying to be in no office. Like the studio, my office. So they just got me a studio, gave me a studio, and just allowed me to let all these different creatives flourish and come through my room. And that's how I've been able to establish all these different relationships. And now the company, we have a publishing division of the company, as well as the record company as well. And it all started with, you know, just through the records and just open arm embracing everybody that just came around, and we were able to start this company.
You spoke about rebranding, right? It's the first thing you said. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think we've ever seen anything like your rebranding,
right?
Like, we obviously we know you as the artist, but at what point did you realize I don't have to perform, I can actually make the music for other people? And who was like the first person to give you that chance to say like, he's talented at that, but he's equally, if not even more so, talented at this?
You know what, when I first started doing my records, it wasn't really like a big, like, I was so caught up in just being on. You know, I'm a kid from the south side of Chicago. So, like, back in those days, like, it was very far in between. It was Kanye, No ID, Common. You know, like, all the OGs, Twista, nobody young had really made it. And so when I first got on, I was just like, man, I'm on. So I wasn't really telling the world, like, yo, I produced this record. And on my album, I wrote all the R&B parts and Sexy Can I. Like, I arranged the whole song and co-wrote the song and this, that, and third. So from there, like, things kind of got dark for me. Like, I went through trials and tribulations in my own career. And then I was just like, man, I always watched all these different DVDs and different stuff or whatever, was familiar with the LA Reeves and watched every documentary. And I was like, I'm a music man. Like, so like, if I'm not the artist forever, I'm gonna evolve and turn into something different. And from there, like, I just was like, man, they don't want the product from me no more. And it was really like an ego death moment, you know what I'm saying? To where you gotta be like, damn, like you come from achieving so much, being a multimillionaire, selling millions of records, but now nobody wants anything from you. But you put every egg into this basket of music. So how are you gonna diversify? And from there, I was just like, fuck it. I just said Hitmaker one time in the studio, like, Hitmaker, I just said it before the song. Yeah. And I was just like, writing hooks for a lot of different people or whatever. And from there, man, I think the first person to really bet on me, that's a huge star that attached themselves to me, was probably Nicki Minaj. And like, I had a few records, I had a bunch of different records or whatever, and Nicki came in and I met her out here in LA. We played a couple records and, man, she kind of like took a liking to me. And that kind of like, and what was crazy, because it wasn't like a cool time to be around me. So it was like, she was so big, and like, I didn't know that, I didn't even put it in perspective back then. Like, my records kind of came out before she was Nicki Minaj, you know what I'm saying? Like, at timeline wise or years wise. So like, I think she probably enjoyed maybe a record I did, and like, we just, our chemistry hit it off, and she allowed me like free reign. Like, yo, here go my studio. She had a sign in the studio. I used to like take pictures when Instagram first came out by the sign. Like, she let me flex the whole thing. And that kind of like was like, yo, like, what the fuck is Nicki Minaj doing? And then it just kind of like turned it up. And then like, I started getting more sessions, and here we are now.
So talk about publishing. Like, mm-hmm. What exactly is publishing? Because a lot of times people are confused. They confuse like your masters with your publishing, which is two different things, right? So like, how important is publishing, and what is the publishing?
Publishing, as a creative and a writer, it might be the most important piece of the whole situation. I think that it's just your worth. It's whatever you know what I'm saying? It's your writer's fee. So I think that a lot of people early on, they don't know that, like, man, like, if you got, if you can eat oodles and noodles for like for this whole time, don't do no publishing deal. Because I did a publishing deal very early, you know what I'm saying? And I had to get into another publishing deal. It's like a never ending door, like for real. Like if you really do it. And but at the same token, it's a way for you to provide for your family early on. So it's hard to tell somebody like, nah, don't do that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Unless you in a position to be like, here, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It just hit me back on some other stuff. But I think that publishing is the most important key for a songwriter, for a producer like me. You know, like, I think that if you can get an admin deal and you cannot do a publishing deal because they want 50% of everything.
What's an admin deal?
An admin deal is just somebody that you basically paying to go collect your money for you. Mm. A publishing deal is selling 50% of your copyright to a publisher to do the same thing, but they giving you an upfront advance.
So now you're creating a publishing company yourself.
Yeah, we have our own. I got my own joint venture with Warner Chappell with APG. Mm. So that's a blessing. You know what I'm saying? But that took years, my brother.
Yeah, like, yeah, right.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Right.
Like it don't jump off like that. Like maybe God bless and somebody that watches this and inspired by this gets this and it take flight like that. But this is like a real 10-year, decade type thing.
So like for the upcoming producer or the upcoming songwriter, because all the artists know, like, at this point, masters, whether they do it or not, they at least know. But I think a lot of producers and songwriters still might not have enough confidence even, right? Because it's like, you might not look at yourself as the most important person in this situation, even though you probably are. Like, what kind of advice would you give them on the business side so they don't get, you know, in bad deals?
I think that when you step into creating a new business, even though like you might not know you creating a business, because we all don't know because we're just creatives or whatever, and then you get your mind wrapped around a whole business point. Like it depends on what your outlook is. If you want to be a frontline guy and a super producer like me and different people that are also in the game as well, and you want to be in front of the camera, then you have to align your business like that. Say you a low-key guy, mad, introverted, don't even want to be in a studio like that, you know what I'm saying? But because I have other co-producers that work with me like that, they'll be like, man, I'm good. Like, I don't want to go in a studio. Just keep feeding me ideas. I'm going to keep feeding you ideas. And that have sold millions of records and never been in a studio with the artist. It's really about what your outlook is and how you want to take it. To me, I look at myself like a super young entrepreneur. I've been inspired by the likes of Puffy, you know what I'm saying? L.A. Reid, different people like that. So it's kind of like, I look at myself like a brand, like Coca-Cola. You know what I'm saying? Like, you slap that hit maker on you're going to have a hard time not going top 10. Like, it's going to be, like, really hard. Like, this has to be, like, the worst shit ever. And I've just created the whole climate to where it hasn't been that, and it's just been super dope. Like, even looking at last Friday, like this how much publishing count. I dropped 21 songs last Friday.
21?
Yeah.
On Friday?
Tink's album. Yeah, just Tink's album came out with 16. Yeah. I did two on OMB Peasy's project. I did Money. I did a 600 Breezy and Money Man single. And then I did Fabulous and Jim Jones single as well. That could be somebody whole year, like 21, like, you know what I'm saying? But I think that the blessing and the real thing about this whole shit is that, man, you have to go and grind like you don't have anything. Like, I live my life like I don't have nothing, like I haven't accomplished a thing. Like, when I leave here, I'm going to the studio. Like, And a lot of people be like, man, shit, like, you know, I got the number one album on Apple Music right now, nigga. Like, I'm cool and, like, you know, the number's finna come back. I'm finna go and lay up with a chick. Like, nah, like, I'm foot on the floor, like, for
first
real.
Thought. So, this is interesting because when you said Puff was an influence, mm-hmm. and obviously we know X played a role in your career in the early mm-hmm. stages. When I think of you, I think when Puff said, when he had that line, take hits from the 80s and make it sound so crazy, right?
Yeah.
Omay said that.
Yeah.
In his song. And I remember that time, like, damn, they taking all the joints from the set. And they're current, right? And mm-hmm. I think Irv had a moment in the early 2000s mm-hmm. when he was doing it. And then it was like a dry spell. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Hitmaker.
Yeah.
And so now, is that the inspiration for how you're attacking the game? Because I'm like, wait, we grew up on some of them songs, and I'm like, yo, he's flipping these ones crazy.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie, like, I consciously set out and I was like, yo, I'm gonna be the Puff Daddy of this generation. I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna flip every one of those. I'm a 106 in Park, Rap City, baby. I'm gonna flip every joint that I loved and I'm gonna make this shit be the craziest, whatever. And I started a trend with it. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, like, you can just go look, like, if the beautiful people at Revolt wanna hit my catalog and go see, bing, 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 bing. Like, I hit, like, a lot of key moments. And from there, like, it kind of, like, people think of that because, like, I think I did it so well. And then, like, there's a lot of bullshit out there. There's a lot of people that's doing it wrong, too, right now. But, like, that's something that you start with a trend. Like, man, like, it's supposed to be taken and everybody's supposed to put their own twist to it because what I did was my own twist on what I seen Irv. Like, I was living, like, I've been at the Murder Mansion. Like, I'm a product of that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been around Irv Gotti and Ja when they making these records. Like, I've been around DMX. I've been around these people. Like, this is just in me. Like, this is my cloth. Like, this is what I bleed. Like, I really bleed the era to where Def Jam was on, like, 8th Avenue and, like, 50-something street. And it was Irv Gotti here and Hov here and DMX here and Michael Kaiser working radio and Julie Greenwald and Lior and Kevin. And, you know, like, that's my DNA that I'm cut from. So, like, it just reflects in everything I do. And I got a lot of hits that don't got samples on it, too.
True.
Like, I mean, a lot of, like, my first one that I really came in the game, I think, like, super heavily when I really, like, start moving, was Big Sean Bounce Back. And it just got certified 6 times platinum, I think, yesterday or the day before. So that was one of the ones.
So I just to follow up on that, because a lot of the records are sampled. So, like, mm-hmm. there's fees attached to that. So how pricey is that when you're sampling?
Oh, it's pricey. Oh,
right? Because it's like, if I sample it, then I got to kind of make sure that this is going to be a hit.
It's pricey, but I'm still cut from that cloth that I just told you about. I'm cut from being around Kanye, being around No ID, seeing and hearing the conversations of Kanye having 12 different, 36 writers on one song and trying to figure out how to get everybody clear. I'm really like I'm here for the music, for the culture. I feel like as long as I support the culture and keep giving back to the culture going to make sure I stay here. And I haven't, like, whatever trials and tribulations I went through to make it here, like, it still ain't let me down. It was still music to come grab me. When I had the darkest day, it was still me writing a song with a girl that named Mia Ray that's from Miami that was like my muse or whatever. But, like, I just wrote a song and I sent it and it became a Tamar Braxton song. And Vincent Herbert flew me back to L.A. And, like, it just all has been music, you know what I'm saying? And keeping God first, for real.
How do you not jeopardize the quality of your production by doing so many different songs? Do you ever think about that, or is it just a song won't come out if you don't feel comfortable with it?
That's like the biggest trick, man. I ain't gonna lie. That's the biggest trick of this whole shit is that I'm not consciously going to make songs. Like, I'm not like, yo, such and such is tomorrow, I'm just going to the studio with my gang, with my people that I work with, and we just make 10 songs a night, and we keep doing it. And we keep doing it and keep doing it to the point that I probably got 6,000 demos in my phone right now. So now any record label could be like, okay, I want you to work with them, with them, with them. And I go in, and this with a lot of people, well, damn, like, this the sauce too. these songs are like, even if I do a joint for a rapper, 99.9% of the time, the hook is on the song already. Mm. And they're embellishing, and it's not like, yo, like, do this. It's more so like, this is dope, and it's going to make this easier if you just throw your sauce on it and say it how you want to say it. Like, even, like, one of the craziest times that I ever had that moment, rest in peace, King Von. Like, we were in a studio and we was in Miami and they brought me down there to work with King Von. And like, he was, you know, he was fairly new to his career and he had done all his songs by himself. You know what I'm saying? Just like, Shorty just load up the beat. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna do my thing. So I'm in there and I'm playing records or whatever. And I'm like, yo, I'm like, it's hard, ain't it? He like, yeah, this shit hard. I'm like, go do the hook. He like, what? I'm like, yeah, do the hook. Like, make it your own. And he like, gang, I ain't never did no shit like this before. he like, so I could go and do it. I'm like, yeah. He like, boy, this shit finna be too raw. I'm gonna make this shit so crazy, da, da, da. He went in there. The song we did was still trapping. I think they're about to be double platinum. Shout out to Dirk and everybody or whatever. And it was just a moment. And we ended up doing like 6 songs that night.
So you brought up Von, you brought up Dirt, mm-hmm. Chicago natives. Obviously, you're a Chicago native. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask, you're going on this journey because you're fairly young, right, mm-hmm. compared to the people that you're aspiring to be.
Yeah.
Are you seeing people and grabbing people along the way to say, yeah. like, listen, let me teach you some of these lessons that I've learned? And if you have, what are some of those lessons that you took away from and said, you know what, I wish somebody had told me this?
I just, more than anything, I just wanted somebody to put me in a room. So it's an open door policy with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the guy that like the people that signed to me, like, I'm gonna be honest, like all my artists that signed to me for the most part, with the exception of my guy, Neek Bucks, and that's a part of our team, they all songwriters. They all the people that I'll just be writing the songs with that's like super dope. And I'm like, I know that every songwriter wants to be an artist in general, but we build up so much catalog and we put that hardware up to where it's like, fuck it. That's why I love my guy, my brother, Ivory Scott. He's on my single. It's top 40 right now. Down Bad with Jeremiah Fabulous and Ivory Scott. Me and Ivory Scott, we collaborated. We did Baddest by Blue and Chris Brown and 2 Chainz. We did fucking the Peru and Fireboy record. I was able to put him in a room with that, with me being with Empire and all this other stuff. He did the first verse on a record. We did it together. We wrote it together. I'm like, fuck it, that shit hard. Just stay on that shit. And I just put them on a song. So, like, I'm just giving the opportunity to all the people that people not even thinking about. Like, just being around me is like a, like.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm having so much success that, like, bro, like, if we take a picture right now and you like, yo, this a writer that I want you to work with or whatever, I'm like, yo, send them to the studio. And we go in there and we take a picture and we do some Instagrams and we plan a vibe in the back. There's a 70 to 85% chance he's going to wake up in the morning from a DM from some A&R or somebody in a game because they're trying to figure out. And I bet it's just like y'all's success. It's like, how the hell is these niggas doing here? And it's like, yo, niggas trying to pick apart your whole thing. Well, no, it's because he has this, or they got that, or they got that. Like, bro, like this shit. So, like, to me, I just want to be the gift that keep on giving back to the people and just being around and just collaborate. I don't have no, like, the biggest thing also is that back when I watched other people, how they runs, they were big producers, they kind of circled it out. Like, if you ain't signing me, we can't make no song together. Mm-hmm. Boy, if you hot, I don't care if it's a fucking crackhead down the street on Figueroa, boy. If he popping something, boy, we throw him in a booth, boy. Here, take your publishing, do everything, clean yourself. I don't care, like, bro. Like, I'm just about making heat, like, for real, for real.
When'd you get turned on to real estate?
Super early. A little backstory on me, like, my parents. I had like the biggest childcare daycare center when I was growing up in Chicago. My dad was the director of Chicago Public Schools / like a real estate like guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like literally like the guy, like, and still right now, like, man, like we got a lot of stuff, man. We got a lot of properties out there that we helping families, you know what I'm saying, coming through with affordable rent, doing all this other stuff that's all over the city that he put me on. So Ward Realty was already like, my last name is Ward. It was already in my blood. It was something that he had started before I even jumped in the game or got my first dollar in the music business. So now with me flourishing, man, like, he just been able to add shit on top.
Family business.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big
How important thing. Is that? Because you in L.A., you in the music business. Mm-hmm. You learned financial literacy from your parents, which mm-hmm. is a blessing. But a lot of people weren't afforded that. So how important was that for you to learn that at an early age? And being that you had that information, like, were you able to kind of give some advice to some artists to stop them from making bad decisions?
Yeah, I think that you just got to get a great team around you. My father's my business manager as well. So, like, I couldn't imagine what it would be like without having that type of guidance with someone that I really revered and cared about. And I really, like, looked at them like that to give me the advice to where, because I think that the kids get caught up in, like, who would this random nigga telling me something about what to do with my money? Like, boy, I'm out here busting my ass for this. But you got to keep somebody that's central, that's more centered around you. And I don't care if you want to turn up every day and wild out and you don't care about that and you want to be the most creative person in the world or you don't care about the finances or the logistics or whatever, you got to make sure that your team is intact. So you look back because you never want to be old and broke, bro. Like, that's like my biggest major fear.
That's what Big say, being broke at 30, giving him the chills.
Bro, like, like you can be broke when you're young, but like you never want to be that guy that's like trying to figure it out, especially after being accomplished. And you know, like, that's a nightmare. So like, man, and I think there's proper examples now that people can look at to and reference points to where like, yo, internet your friend, man. Go talk to these people. Go have conversations with people who's bigger than just linking up with chicks and just vibing out. Like, go link up with somebody that you see that got a little bit more than you and go ask them how you get that, how you put yourself in that position, and just let the love and the game trickle down.
So you're a young millionaire, right? Obviously, as an artist. What was that like? Because the show was obviously called Assets Over Liabilities. Mm-hmm. So at the time you're accumulating this money, obviously you have, you know, a foundation with your parents teaching you financial literacy. Mm-hmm. How much are you actually taking in as opposed to saying like, all right, it's cool, but I'm about to go spend some.
I wowed out.
Right? Like, I'm like, cool, like, right?
No, I wowed out. See, but the difference is, if I was an artist then, so you dealing with that front and back end situation. Mm-hmm. So when you catching that back end at the show or at the club and all this other stuff, you could look up and do a 2-3 week run and have $600,000-$700,000, you know what I'm saying, in cash. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why people be seeing like the super rappers and be like, man, where the fuck is they getting all that? Like, bro, I didn't give me a hard time taking $10,000 out the bank. Like, how does this nigga have fucking, yo, like a $2 million sit right here?
Money phone, exactly. McDuff, hello? Swimming in money.
Exactly, bro. So they giving you the money. So I think that when you get it, when the money in your hand, it's something about it that don't feel real. You know what I'm saying? And you want to know what the worst thing is? When you take yourself out that position, that credit card, boy, I'm telling you, because it don't feel real. Yeah, like, it's just like, whatever. But I'd rather you fuck up early, you know what I'm saying? Bump your head early and learn, or just don't fuck up at all, because it's really about, all this shit is ego-driven. Unless, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, now, like, I'm big chain and rich, but it's marketing.
Yeah, though,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's a marketing fee for me. Like, I gotta look like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, look where I came from. Like, this is an example that, and it's a motivational piece and it's inspiration to be like, man, you could be at the top. You could fall all the way down and have everybody say that you will never be nothing again. And then now be in a position, you know what I'm saying? To where you able to just show, like, the hard work, the dedication, and just what keeping God first will really bring you.
So how important is rebranding? Because you started as Young Berg. You know, mm-hmm. the crazy thing, I didn't know Hitmaker. I didn't know you were Hitmaker.
Oh, for real?
At first. Like, I was hearing it drop, Hitmaker, and I'm like, yo, this kid's on fire right now. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like,
I thought it was Heatmakers at first.
Well, I didn't.
So, I like, shout out to Heatmakers.
So, like, was that intentional that you changed your name? How important was it? Because you could have just kept Young Berg as a producer.
Nah, it wasn't going to work like that.
Why were you?
I was blackballed. I was like in an early stage. It's like, well, since we talking like a product, you know what I'm saying, a rebranding, like, shit, I was like the Fire Fest, boy. I went down in flames.
And human,
I went, it like, human form. Where it was just cool. Like, it was just like a stamp. Like, yo, like, nah, that ain't it. And I don't think that if I'd have been like, yo, like, Beats by Berg, like, it might not have gave it the opportunity that was necessary for it to be. But I was able to sneak it in and be on some like hit making shit. Like I said, I just came up with the name, like, cause that's mad bold. Like I'm Young Berg, and then randomly I'm just like, no, nigga, I'm Hitmaker. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like a big, you know what I'm saying, shooter feel. But it just happened really organically. Like, all this shit is God's will. Me sitting here right here with y'all, like, I'm literally, like, I'm watching a movie of my life, like, while we sitting here talking. Like, real out-of-body, like, type experience. Because yeah. I wanted this, and I put so much energy into it to where everything is just coming to fruition.
So, I mean, this is a new type of way that people are consuming music, right? It's not like we're buying sales and streaming. So from your side, like what's the equation, right? When I do a billion streams, how profitable can that be for a person who's actually producing a song? Because I mean, we see people going platinum. It kind of just doesn't feel the same. When I hear a billion streams, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I got like 10 billion down to 11 billion on motherfuckers. It's very profitable. Like, I wanna lie and say like, nah, it's not. But nah, it's very profitable. And then like, if you're the artist though, see, cause I'm the producer. So this is what people gotta realize too. The producer, I'm a producer and a songwriter. So the way the songs kind of come packaged for me, it'll be like, yo, I co-produce this with my other guy, whatever, here it is. And we'll probably retain 65% of the song, if depending on if someone else comes in and writes on a record or whatever. So you're dealing with a whole pie at 100. So just think about the revenue that's coming in. Like if the artist is getting that and being able to tour and go do that off the show money. So you're getting 50% of the pie. So I mean, go look at your favorite artist and just think about 50% of what, you know what I'm saying, they got. Like, it's up, you know what I'm saying?
It's up. It's way up.
It's stuck. Yeah. It's up and it's stuck. So, which side do you like better, the artist side or the producer side?
The producer side. And I don't even, like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm not, like, I love the game. Like, I feel like I'm going to feel like in 4 or 5 years, like, maybe I won't even produce records no more, and I'll just be, like, as big as Craig Kalman or be as big as L.A. Reid or be in there. Like, I know how to find talent. I know how to identify things. I know how to put this person in the room, do this, do that. You know what I'm saying? I know how to bring a whole project to fruition. So, to me, man, this whole game is just, like, leveling up every moment. Just level up, level up, level up. And that's the ultimate goal. Like, being an artist is trash, bro. Like, what do you want to do? Like, no, I really, like, that's why I kind of, like, this, I hope this don't go viral in a bad way. That's kind of why I shy away from certain female rappers. You know what I'm saying? Because now,
Limba Chicken Chow Mein, Mkhetwa, a.k.a. Big Warra.
Yo, it's Big Fred, a.k.a. Ndate Thusawadi Podcast.
Kiki Tubafetu, and we are the Sobering Podcast.
Tune in to us every second Wednesday for fire conversations and interviews about South African music, sneakers, and street culture.
Check us out on the Revolt Podcast Network.
Shout out to our moms. Now it's kind of like my DM is just fluctuated with strippers and bartenders and fucking, you know what I'm saying? Just
fluctuate is a good word.
Like with anybody, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yo, like, bro, like it's ridiculous. And it's like, you don't even love this shit. It's almost disrespectful to all the work and the hard work and time that I done put into this shit. So, I mean, ladies, I love you, but do not contact me unless you love this shit, yo, because they've made it so watered down that they think that anybody can do it.
So is that the reason we haven't got a Hitmaker album? Right? Because obviously you can make hits.
Yeah.
So to put 10 together or 12 together, that sounds like that's an easy fix.
I got an album and it's done. And it's all together. It's 14 songs. Everybody's on it. I mean, like, everybody. Like, start at the top of the game.
Let's call your favorite.
Everyone's on it.
Let's call your favorite.
But, man, I'm just so, like, man, I got sessions coming up. You never know. Like, man, somebody might take my single that might be in it tomorrow because I know I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I feel. Like, I'll give the songs out or whatever, but my album is done for the streets, you know what I'm saying, for the record, and it's done, and we going to see, man. Probably, like, you know, later this year, something like
Do you, because what I'm hearing is, like, you just love to make the music.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put the album out, and I'm sure it's going to have great success, mm-hmm. I feel like there won't be any interest in you touring it, or maybe is there?
Boy, somebody.
Because now you're an artist.
How to press motherfucking that button on that damn DJ thing, boy? And they gonna pay me to go out? Nah, I'm bullshit. I'm inside the trenches, man. I'm in the office. I'm in like I'm in into finding new talent. And I'm into making records daily, like, and discovering new songwriters and new producers and building up this roster and taking shit to the next level. But I ain't gonna lie, like, if the bag get crazy, I might go and give them a hit maker set. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, for real. Because I really could just go to the club and be like, hey, yo, give me 15 of them joints and just let them fly.
So you said artist right now is not inspiring. What do you look for when you say you signed Neek Park, shout out to him. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you look for in artists to say, okay, this person is special, since there's so many people that's not special?
It's just an it factor. First and foremost, just about the individuality. A lot of people want to be like a lot of different people, so they'll give you that same type of effect. Like, and it'd be like, oh, well, I'd be like, yo, describe what his music's like. Oh, it's similar to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like Gunna, or it's like, you know, it's like, bro, like, I'm looking for something that's really like
unique.
Exactly. Like, Neek Bucks doesn't remind me of your typical New York rapper. His pocket, the way he speaks, the way he translates it, and his story is really real and it's really genuine. Like, and it's something that resonates with me, and I think it's gonna resonate with the whole world. So the ultimate thing with me is just individuality and then the work ethic. Like, you gotta be able to match my work ethic, because, like, you know I'm gonna go bad on you if I done sold 100 M's and 10 billion streams and I'm in the studio more than you and you ain't even put out your first project. So that's why I kind of think that we all inspire each other. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, man, like, damn, he's super dope. I gotta be in this bitch cooking up something for him. Then it's like, well, damn, this nigga is super lit and he in here just as much or more than me. So it's just a revolving door. We feed off each other.
I'm gonna be honest, I used to, and this is one of those sneaky hits that I love, the 2 Chainz and Ariana Grande record.
Yo, I love that record too. It's a plaque on that too.
It's one of my favorites. So when I heard that, I'm like, wow, Ariana Grande. Is there somebody that you haven't worked with that you're like, I gotta get them? I haven't done it yet, but I need to.
I don't know. I want to say Bieber, and I ain't gonna lie. 2 Chainz got this nigga. 2 Chainz is the sneakiest nigga. Well, he got a record idea with him and Justin Bieber that's about to come out. That shit is crazy too, and it's like the same pocket. Like, you wouldn't expect Ariana on that type of record, like, cause we flipped the A Marie.
That's one of my favorite records. Yeah.
So you do the beat and you do the hook. You have the song. Mm-hmm. Do you have the artist in mind that you want to give, or you just keep it in the stash and then just randomly come up and say, okay, this is good for 2 Chainz, or this is good for Jadakiss? Like,
so it's different. So for clarity with the whole shit, my creative process, right? Like, I got like we talked about, a gang of co-producers that do stuff. So, like, here's an example. Like, if I want to flip something, right, like the Ariana Grande and 2 Chainz or whatever record, my co-producer on that, Rob Holiday, who did all my records with me. He did Sexy Lady, he did The Business. Like, I literally told this guy to drop out of high school and he moved out here to LA with me and we made them songs, like, no bullshit. So fucking, we had did the record originally and the sample, like, that wasn't clear. So then I linked up with my guy, Paul Cabin, who I met when I did Wiz Khalifa Something New. And I'm like, yo, we gotta replay this. He came in a clutch. He replayed that whole shit. You probably can't even tell that it's not a sample. He replayed everything on the song. Then we re-rent and structured the drums with Cardiac and did everything from there. And then I wrote the hook for Ariana Grande with my artist, Rocky, who signed up my company now, Make It Sound. We wrote the hook together. Then I played it for Chainz. And I really went to Chainz's house to play him a record to get on my album. And he like, this how long I've been working on the album. And I'm like, yo, play me some shit. I played him. He jumped on something. I played him. Now I'm like, yo, this the intro to my album. I want you to get on it. That nigga like, hell no, man, it's my song. And it was cool because I've known Chainz so long. Like, even if people go look at, like, the Player Circle thank you notes and that, like, man, he shout me out in that bitch. He said Iceberg, Youngberg, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's how long I've been knowing Tit. That's my brother.
That's crazy.
Pleasure, my brother. Yeah, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. Anything that you working on that you want to let the people know, be aware of?
Shit. I mean, I probably got 5 more albums that I executive produced that's coming out this year. Shout out to Tink. We got the #1 album right now, R&B album, Apple Music. Go get that, stream that, copy it. Pillow Talk, amazing body of work. My new album coming, Neek Bucks on the way, and It's Wayne Hits, I'm sorry.
I like it.
Respectfully.
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 I appreciate you, my brother. Nah. There you have it.
That's a wrap for Hitmaker.
Hitmaker! Appreciate it, bro.
Congrats on everything, bro.
Thank you, bro.
Hey, it's Troy and Rashad from Assets Over Liabilities. This episode's word, annual return. This is the Asset Journal brought to you by Ally. The annual return is the return that an investment provides over a period of time expressed as a time-weighted annual percentage. Sources of returns can include dividends, returns of capital, and capital appreciation.
It's not just about revenue and big numbers. It's about how much you take home and what your return on your investment is. Only here on Revolt.
Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.